Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or seeking to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and Psych Reg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as clinical psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back, Richard. Today's podcast is going to take us on the brink of topics that we oftentimes work very diligently to avoid.
We usually avoid these topics.
Yes. This article is...
That means we must be talking about...
Politics.
Politics, yeah.
This was an article written in Psychology Today by Pamela Paresky.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And she's from the Aspen Institute, and she wrote this one called, What Happened to Moderation, Civility, and Compromise? Bum, bum, bum.
Man.
This is going to be an intense... We're going to keep it...
Civil.
Civil. Oh, and maybe compromise a little bit. All moderately.
If we take a more moderate approach. I don't know this Aspen... I've heard of the Aspen Institute. Mm-hmm. I don't know FIRE.
Right.
FIRE stands
the
for...
The Foundation for Individual Rights in Education.
Right. I'd not heard of that before. But this was a panel discussion at the Institute.
Right.
And they were discussing... I guess David Axelrod, who was part of Obama's election.
He's from the University of Chicago.
Right. He's at the University of Chicago. And he was involved in this discussion as well, one of the organizers. And the idea, as the title suggests, is that we have lost civility, moderation, and the ability to compromise. And she's talking mainly in the political arena.
Right.
Okay. But also personal.
Yeah.
Because though it starts in the political arena, it comes down to our personal choices too.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
And behaviors.
I think that this is consistent with some of the things that we've talked about as it relates to, you know, social media and virtual relationships, that we're, you know, sort of, we are certainly less civil when we're interacting with each other virtually than when we are interacting with each other face to face. We will say things, we will do things, and we will imply things much different via text message than we would maybe in a person's face to face interaction.
Right. Right.
So yeah, it does play out in the political arena, but it's also in our everyday lives.
Right. I noticed it mainly in the political arena because I remember politics before Nixon.
Mm-hmm.
I remember President Kennedy. I remember President Johnson. I remember those things. And even during the Watergate hearings, where there was reason for division, there was a certain civility among the members of that committee and in Congress that allowed the Constitution to work. Okay. There was a serious legal issue in front of them, and instead of fighting till the bitter end, the members, both Republicans and Democrats, reasoned through the process, preserved the Constitution, and came up with an amicable solution to the problem.
Right.
Henry Ford, Gerald Ford, when he became vice president, rather than putting the nation through a prolonged impeachment trial, looking for legal malfeasance on the part of Richard Nixon, said, "We are going to pardon him now."
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, people were really angry about that. But what it did is it took away the incivility that would have resulted had this gone to trial.
Right.
And he made the right decision. Didn't seem like it at the time,
mm-hmm.
but he made the right decision. And so through all that pain and turmoil, Republicans and Democrats kept making the right decisions.
Right. Right?
I don't think that could happen today.
I think that it's a lot of this started as we look back. And I certainly don't have the experience, life experience that you have. But it seems as though if we really go back and kind of start tracing it back, it seems like it really started to take hold and begin to gain momentum during Clinton's from my experience.
Yes, it did.
Mm-hmm. You know, people didn't agree with Reagan, but Reagan, he was personable, and you know, people.
It was still a civil discourse.
Right.
Tip O'Neill was Speaker of the House.
Right.
And O'Neill and Reagan met regularly,
right.
and they hammered out these tax policies, and they hammered out the economy, and
right.
they solved the problems in a civil way.
Right.
They ideologically were different,
right.
but they solved problems together.
Right.
But you're right. It was with the Clinton administration that we first see these very, very deep divisions
right.
begin to appear.
Right. And then it's just gotten...
It's gotten
more
worse.
And more and more significant mm-hmm. over time. And, you know, to the point where I think I was listening to an interview with, and now his name just jumped out of my head, who was the Republican congressional leader during Obama's administration? Boehner.
John Boehner. Right.
He resigned. He sort of disappeared and, you know, he kind of withdrew and he mm-hmm. basically is out of politics.
He was in the news every day. For
right.
8 years, or some
right.
6 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's gone.
And I heard an interview mm-hmm. with him mm-hmm. recently, and he said, you know, what happened was he was getting so much criticism because he would meet with Obama. He said he would meet with Obama privately, you know, and they could discuss things. He goes, again, mm-hmm. it's not that we're colluding. It's not that we're trying to come up
right.
with strategies, you know, mm-hmm. behind people's backs or anything, but this is what leaders do. Leaders meet, and they try to come to some compromise.
Right.
And his supporters or people in his party began to become so critical of him for meeting with
That's
Obama
right.
that, he, you know, that was what sort of led to him withdrawing and being, well, you know, all the other things that happened, but led to his departure from politics in general.
And I remember when the Tea Party first came
mm-hmm.
to prominence, probably around the same
mm-hmm,
time.
Mm-hmm.
And their mantra was, we will not compromise.
Right.
We'll shut the government down
right.
before we compromise.
Right.
Okay. That was new.
Right.
And it hasn't gone away. There
mm-hmm.
is this notion that we are right, and anybody who disagrees with us is totally wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just a difference of opinion.
Right.
They are wrong. They are dangerous.
Right.
And we will not compromise with them.
Right.
That worries me.
Right.
I'm not a political commentator, but it worries me because I wonder how the Constitution will work if we don't have that sort of compromise.
Right. Yeah.
To make this balance of power work.
Right. Now, I want to ask you where you would like to go, because I think there's still so much to talk about, potentially talk about. In the political arena, but I think that this is a place where we begin to see the same thing in families, in parenting and everything.
That's right.
Because there are, you know, if you're on Facebook, and you look up any of this stuff
mm-hmm.
or you're following anybody that talks about parenting or anything like that, you will frequently see people posting articles and everything about, you know, compromise is the downfall of raising kids these days.
Mm-hmm.
This is why the millennials are the way they are, because we
right.
offered them too many compromises. And I think that while there may be an overindulgence sometimes,
mm-hmm.
I think that that's too simplistic of a perspective
right.
for one, and for two,
mm-hmm.
many times the examples that are given in those articles and just media,
right.
it are anecdotal. They're like single
yes.
case designs. They're
mm.
you know, hey, this is what happened in my family. I
right.
put the, you know, I put my foot
mm-hmm.
down and everybody was so much better and my kid was, you know, well-behaved. Your kid probably would have been well-behaved anyways. But, you know, but we see those and, you know, it reminds me of Tiger Mom. Remember that
yeah,
whole
right.
thing with Tiger Mom? It was like, you know,
mm-hmm.
we don't compromise. We don't do this. This is what's expected.
Right. Right.
And she did end up coming back later and saying, hey, you know, this was not the greatest.
That's right. I may not have done the right thing.
Right.
And you're right. We're having a discussion about politics,
mm-hmm.
but it is going to go to our personal
yeah.
approach with ourselves, our partners,
mm-hmm.
our children, and our families.
Yeah.
Okay. So we are going to put this in a psychological context.
Right.
But I think where politics went wrong is during when Karl Rove was doing the Bush campaign, the first Bush campaign, and he began to introduce moral issues into the debate. That's the first time that I remember morality becoming affiliated with a particular party. That religion, homosexuality, abortion, all these very personal issues began to take on political significance, and they got they became political issues. And that's when because you might not compromise on abortion,
right? Okay?
But abortion's not political,
right?
Or shouldn't be. It's a personal decision. But when that got mixed in with politics, then you say, well, I'm a Republican and I'm opposed to abortion, so therefore I can never compromise with the Democrats. Right. Maybe not on abortion, but how about taxes?
Right.
You know, but the problem is we've overgeneralized. Now we don't compromise on anything. Well, like, I can't compromise with Democrats because they're for abortion. Well,
Yeah, it does go both ways. You know, there are many Democrats who have dug their feet in things, and it's like, you know, you can compromise here and increase the possibility of them compromising over here. And so,
I mean, clearly we need a health care plan.
Right.
Clearly we need tax reform. Clearly we have global warming. I mean, there are all these issues. Everybody acknowledges that.
Right.
And they're only going to be resolved. These are huge issues. They're only going to be resolved by compromise.
Right.
Somebody's going to have, groups are going to have to come together to work with each other. But if you have contempt and hatred for the opposition, you're not going to compromise with them.
Yeah, I was listening to a podcast, and they were talking about the congressional hearings for the new FBI director last week. And the vast majority of questions for the FBI director had to do with Russia and the Russia investigation and everything. And, you know, hey, if the president asked you to do something that was illegal, what would you do? If he asked you to keep things quiet, what would you do? And, you know, all I could think of was, you know, again, compromise and civility and moderation. Right. There are so many other things that we need to focus on.
Right.
Why are we, you know, there are people who are taking care of those things. Let's let them take care of those things,
right,
and let's deal with healthcare. Let's deal with this or deal with that. But it's that, it to me, it's a form of compromise that, you know, okay, I'm going to allow, you know, sort of release this so that they can take care of it. But instead, everybody wants to have their say, have their piece so that they don't give anything up. And again, you know, again, we'll bring that to parenting and in our personal lives in a moment. But it's amazing to me.
Well, you know, one of the points he makes in the article is we are social creatures.
Right.
We band together. But even in pre-industrial, what many people call primitive culture, I don't like the term primitive cultures, but in pre-industrial cultures such as the Native American or the Aboriginal or the tribes in some of the Middle Eastern countries, we form into groups, and as soon as we do that, there's us versus them. I suppose we can go back to Neanderthals or Cro-Magnon and say, you know, they live on that side of the river and we live on this side of the river, so we're different.
Right.
Okay? So we tend to form into us and them. Okay, and we have to figure out a way to break down those barriers.
Right.
Because what research shows us is that if you create diversity, if you allow other people into your life, you become more tolerant, you become more patient, you become more understanding.
Right.
The more isolated you become, the more intransigent you become, and the more right you think you are.
Right.
Okay. And one of the most frightening things about, one of the most frightening statistics that he reports is that something like 50 or 60% of Republicans and about 40% of Democrats would be disappointed, unhappy, if their children married a member of the opposite party.
Right.
Well, how did we get, I mean,
how did we get to
that
point?
Never thought about someone's political party.
Right.
I mean, I've never heard of that, but yet that's where people are now.
Yeah.
Okay. That talk about talk about clans. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, these are becoming warring factions now.
Right.
And you frequently hear people say, well, I want the Republicans to be in complete control for a generation.
Mm-hmm.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Because that's what the Soviet Union had. They had one party.
Right.
The one party made all the decisions for everybody.
Right.
Didn't work so well for them.
Right.
And I'm not sure it would work so well in any country to
right.
have one party. I mean, I think we see countries around the world where one party, Iraq under Saddam Hussein, mm-hmm. was a single party.
Right.
Okay. Is that really what we want?
Right.
So I think we need to be really careful about these mm-hmm. very, very deep divisions and this almost visceral hatred for each other.
Yeah.
I hear people on TV use the word liberal, and they almost, it's almost like a profanity. It's almost like a curse
mm-hmm.
word, you know, that it's so derisive, and there's so much venom attached to
right.
it. Like you're evil and bad,
right.
and, you know.
Well, even when we use the terms right and left, I mean,
same
okay,
thing.
So they're opposite,
right?
Okay, so but and so if we're opposite, then we can't be the same,
right.
and so we can't compromise. And
mm-hmm.
so again, this, you know, pulling this to
right.
To our personal lives and how this relates to our day to day existence is that we have to make sure that we, you know, you were talking about diversity and not just diversity in specific people and
right.
things like that, but diversity in ideas, in thoughts and behaviors and actions and
right.
choices and all of that. You know, when your child wants something that you don't want them to have, there's an opportunity to accept some diversity,
mm-hmm.
or there's an opportunity to put your foot down and reject the idea of
right.
different. And you have to decide where you want to be on that, in that
mm-hmm.
aisle.
Right.
And I think that in this age of no compromise,
mm-hmm.
in this age of, okay, we're going to hold fast to a particular perspective, we fail to identify opportunities for growth and for
right.
Expansion.
Right. You and I have had this discussion many times, that I know a lot of really smart people who disagree with me politically,
mm-hmm.
okay? There must be some reason why
right.
they have the view that they have.
Sure.
They're not stupid. I mean, they read and they do research and they're really highly intelligent people.
Right.
They must be bringing something to this that I don't understand.
Yeah.
And so instead of saying it's us versus them, let me try to understand.
Yeah.
That's where we should be going.
Right.
So if we're talking about our own personal relationships,
mm-hmm.
we should
mm-hmm.
somewhere in the article they talk about first friends and second friends.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And first friends
yeah.
are people who agree with us, like
right.
you and I agree in most respects. Then there are second friends who they have a difference, but we're still friends.
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
I have other people. You do too.
Mm-hmm.
We both have friends and family
right, right.
who are vastly different than we are, but we still affiliate. We still
right.
associate with each other. And there's no reason why we can't do that at a personal level.
Right.
We also think about raising our children.
Mm-hmm.
Do we want to raise them in this very insular way so that they are intolerant?
Right.
Or do we want to expand their worlds
yeah.
with other people and make them more patient,
right.
more likely to compromise,
right.
more moderate
yeah.
in their views, and more civil in their discourse. One of the things that's always bothered me recently is when people try to shout down a speaker.
Right, right,
you know,
yeah.
That really, I don't care who the speaker is.
Right. It's happened recently at universities and stuff.
That's right, even at universities it's happened.
The place where... Not just, I mean, free speech is certainly a hallmark
mm-hmm.
Of the university.
Right.
But, you know, the idea of different ideas is what the university system is all about. And then
that's right.
we're going to yell out at and deny and reject and boycott. And
mm-hmm.
if you don't believe in what the speaker is going to say, then
right.
don't go.
Don't go.
Mm-hmm. You know, I remember when I was a student at USF, I was very interested in this presentation that was going to be done on, this was back when intelligent design was first really going.
I remember that.
And and so I went to it because I, you know, I was very, am very much so a biology kind of guy, and we learn a lot about micro and macro evolution, and, and so we think about that a lot, and believe that and can find ways to fit that within, you know, various spiritual and religious perspectives. But there were people that were there, because I wanted to go and learn more. There were people that were there who were just rude, and I was thinking, why are you, if you want to completely reject this idea outright because there's no way you're going to, why are you even here?
Right.
You know, let's not. Why does it have to get to that point where we're rude and disrespectful and all of that? It just doesn't make sense to me.
Right. Even if you don't agree,
right,
they have the right to speak. I mean, this is one of those fundamental rights that we've fought for and we've struggled with. You know, how much, what is free speech?
Right.
You know, what are you allowed to say with knowledge? Because you can't scream fire in a movie theater and all, all that stuff. But in the universe of ideas, all these ideas should be discussed. They all should be discussed. There are going to be extremes on both sides, but they all should, everybody should be able to have a voice.
We ended up going back to, towards politics with that again, but it's the same thing with our kids. It's the same thing with our relationships. If you, if you and I disagree on something, then we can either talk about it or we can say, you know what, you have your belief, I have my belief, that's cool, but hey, let's go do these other things that we mutually agree on.
Because there are many things where we don't have, I hate the word facts, but we don't have facts, okay?
Right.
We have facts about radioactivity. Okay,
right.
We know that radioactivity is harmful to humans.
Right.
That we know, and we can solve that. There are other things where it's not as clear, and we may have to have some compromise.
You
know, well, this is how I feel. This is how I feel. Okay, well, let's figure out. And I think that's been the beauty of our Constitution. The framers, when they developed this document, made it organic. And there was room for debate and discussion. They anticipated that there would be differences of opinion. It's an absolutely brilliant document because it's alive.
Right.
You know, because it allows for compromise. And it allows for the separation of powers. And it has inside it somewhere the need to compromise. You know.
And I
worry about anything that threatens it, that threatens that compromise, that ability to find some moderate middle ground.
So, you know, we were a little bit scattered in the podcast, but what the bottom line from our perspective is, we would really encourage you to take a step back and look at how your interactions and engagements are with your friends, family, loved ones, your kids, and just in case your kids don't fall into any of those other categories of loved ones or family.
Can I make I'll give you a specific example that I struggle with.
I know you want to.
My daughter and her friends, my daughter who's a college graduate, and her friends are very sophisticated, highly intelligent, well-educated. They watch the Kardashians. It makes absolutely no sense to me that they would even be interested in it. I mean, I have no idea why they're interested in it, but I have to at least listen to them when they're talking about it and let them have that part of their lives. Okay, that takes enormous self-control from me because I'm so violently opposed to everything the Kardashians have. This doesn't bother you, does it?
The Kardashians. I don't watch it. I don't know.
I know, but if your kids did, and you would say, you can't ban it from the house.
Right.
You can't say you're not allowed to.
Right.
Okay. So you have to listen and compromise and say, what are they trying to tell me here?
It's an interesting example. I didn't think that we'd talk about the Kardashians on our podcast.
Take anything that teenagers disagree about. They disagree with their parents. You know, I can text and drive. My reflexes are good enough to text and
YouTubing.
Drive.
YouTubers. You know, watching different YouTubers is a major
binge
conflict.
Watching.
Yeah.
Binge watching TV.
Right.
Okay. And you say, well, I'm opposed to that. You know, I'm absolutely adamantly opposed to it. Why do people binge watch? You know, what is the... I must understand Mm-hmm. What motivates my daughter to binge watch TV? I don't binge watch, but I must understand why she does.
I'll explain that to you.
You understand that?
Oh, yeah.
Do you
I binge watch.
Do you?
Sure. Yeah. So, I'll explain it to you sometime.
Go ahead, do it now.
No. Look, this podcast has already gone for 25 minutes almost.
Has it really?
Yeah. Because somebody is just insistent on talking about politics. We don't ever get the opportunity to talk about politics
here. We don't like to talk about politics because it's a delicate... It shouldn't be, but it is a delicate topic.
Well, we like to talk about it when it's just us. Because it's... Because then we can, you know...
Because you and I agree.
Yeah. And you can say things that it's okay to say and... we can say it in a way that you and I understand, in a way that we're not going to misunderstand. And that's I always worry that when you say too many things, other people are going to misunderstand and start making their own assumptions about things. And so that's the concern. That's why we don't do it on the podcast all that much.
No, we don't want to introduce politics into these discussions.
Yeah.
Sadly, we can't. You know, but there are things we'd like to talk about, but as soon as you start talking about any of these subjects like global warming or gerrymandering or any of these things, you immediately get into those clans,
right?
You know, the us them.
Yeah.
You know, you're absolutely wrong, you're absolutely right, and we want to avoid that.
Absolutely. So
sadly, well, it is sad that we can't, that we don't have a better discourse, that we don't have a better way of talking about these things.
Well, so you're making us go, making the podcast longer, but the There are those who do that, but then, as you said, it just creates more divisiveness.
Right.
You know, it just creates more of a division between the two groups, and we don't want to contribute to that, because we have so many other things to talk about and to share with folks that we don't want to get into that position. So,
but
anyways,
but I like what this author talks about,
right?
Because at least she's saying, she's saying, we should really be more civil.
Right. We should be more civil. We should be more willing to compromise.
Right.
And everything.
And I feel
moderation.
Bad for John Boehner, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that he was ousted because he wanted to compromise.
Yeah.
That's sad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, that's it. What a way to end the week. So that's it for today. What? Why do you keep looking at me like that? Don't look at me. All right, until next time.
Maybe we should be in different clans.
I'm in the blue shirt clan, you're in the
white
shirt clan.
That's right, I'm in the white. The blues and the whites.
That's right. So until next time, stay happy, stay healthy.
I just noticed that.
All the people that's watching it on YouTube will see.
Oh my God.
All right. So I can't see you now. So until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.
And wish me luck.